SBS Radio.
Good morning, Jericho. Can you tell me about moving to and growing up in New Zealand and then Australia?
Of course. So I was born in the Philippines in Tarlac City. And then about 4 or 5 years old, my family decided to move to New Zealand because it was a perfect opportunity for them to make a living. And I think around that time, my parents told me that getting a citizenship in New Zealand was a lot more easier to get than it is now. So, yeah, they took the opportunity, and about 5 years old, I was living in New Zealand, in Auckland. That's where majority of my life I grew up in. I feel like I'm more of a Kiwi rather than a Filipino or an Australian.
Yeah, that's understandable. So when did you move to Australia?
So about 5 years ago, like maybe, yeah, a month ago from now, 5 years, yeah.
What made you decide to join Australian Survivor?
You know what, I grew up watching it. There was an American, obviously, an American season that's been going for a very long time, like over a decade now, and I grew up with it. So, yeah, and I thought when the opportunity arose, I was like, I can do that, and I gave it a crack and actually applied for season one, didn't get through. Season two, I did, and I think that was just, it was just meant to be.
How was the
applicants all over Australia? Each stage is from a phone call to the Skype interview to the group interview, and then having to do, you know, a mockery of a mini survivor in one of the interviews. You know, they would say how many people were cut, and then they were saying that, you know, you're like the last 5% in this interview process, already thinking that, wow, they really see something in me. And it wasn't until I got the final call that I was one of the contestants. I was working, I was in LA because I'm a flight attendant, and so I got the call when I was overseas. And they gave me a call and they said, yeah, you're one of the top 24. And I was just, when I heard that, I didn't believe it because I always just watched it from the TV, and for them to say that I was going to be a contestant, it was just unreal.
Did you do anything to prepare for the show?
You know what, like, there's only so much you can prepare, but it's not until you get there you realize everything you prepared for kind of just goes out the window, because Survivor doesn't really, there is no formula to actually trying to be as the best shape as you can, because there's so many unpredictable things that comes your way. For example, you have no control over the weather, and we were in Samoa where the weather was always like left, right, and extremely cold, extremely hot. And there was even a time where we were receiving an aftermath of a cyclone that was coming from Vanuatu on one of the days. And, you know, you don't prepare for those kind of things. Mentally, you can try, but like sometimes when your body just physically shuts down, it does. And that's when, you know, you can try and prepare all you want, but it's not, you won't be able to get to that point where you can handle everything.
Yeah, that's true. So would you say that the weather was one of the most difficult bits of your experience?
Yeah, I think that Survivor is so awesome in the sense that you get to meet all these new people, and you have no control over them too, but I feel like you have an influence in how much you interact with them, how much people interact with you, whereas rain is something you can't control, or even anything to do with the weather. You have no control when it stops, when it starts, and how long it goes for. And sometimes we would literally go for, you know, 9 hours of just pure rain, all the way throughout the night, all the way to the next morning, and that is a massive impact on how you kind of like live through the entire time that you're in Survivor, because if it's raining for 9 hours, you can't cook anything for 9 hours. You don't eat for 9 hours.
So of course, aside from the weather, food was also hard to come by. So after you left the island, what did you eat first?
You know what? Because I'm a small person, like I went in there already quite small. So like I was 60, maybe 67, and then I finished at 54, I think. Yeah, you know, it's so funny. The first thing that I was able to eat was this lobster seafood platter from a menu that was in Samoa when we finally got out of the game. And it was so funny because I actually thought that it was a seafood like side plate. So I ordered that, and then I ordered like another plate of like a, you know, a beef brisket or something. And the funny part was this side plate seafood that I thought was actually this massive platter, and on top of it was this big lobster. And anyways, I had one claw, and because my stomach had shrunken so much, I was like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm so sorry, but I'm full. I ate one claw of a lobster, and that was it. I was full. And it was so weird because you come home and your appetite changes. So I ended up having this massive crave for donuts. And to this day, donuts are like my favorite thing.
So looking back, what were the highlights of your experience in the island?
Definitely making friends on the show. I think those friendships are a different type of friendship that you have in real life. I think because you go through the most extreme, when you say I was really, really cold to your friends, they don't get what cold means. Whereas the people that you went and actually did an experience with, it's a special, unique kind of friendship there, you know? And so that's probably the biggest highlights is creating experiences and memories with these people that I've now call my friends. So I have my best mates who I dearly love and will always care for. But Survivor is its own little pocket. And when you go through like such traumatic like moments, from just shivering to death, you know, and you're doing it with these group of people that you don't even know, but you have to. There's this like camaraderie and friendship that is built on those type of foundations, and that's something that even your best friends will never ever get to understand.
So speaking of friendships you've developed in the show, because your best friend in the show was Luke. Are you watching the current season as well?
Yeah, I'm currently watching it. And I don't know anything about the show, so everything that I watch is all news to me. Obviously, I'm really close friend with Luke Stuhl. But I'm one of those like fan that I don't want to be spoiled anything, and so I even tell his missus, don't tell me anything. I just want to watch it from the TV.
I read in a 2018 article that you said you haven't really spent any of the money you won. Has that changed now?
Yeah, it's changed quite recently in the last couple of months, like 2 or 3, 4 months ago. So obviously before that, I think as much as it's awesome to have that, I never saw that as my money. Like I never went on the show to win the prize. I went there because I was a massive fan of the show, and I had assumed, like, being realistic, like, you would go through the process of, like, getting voted off at some point. And it's so awesome to have a goal of getting to the end, but only one was going to win, right? So, like, you don't bank on that. Otherwise, then you kind of, like, finish disappointed. And I didn't want to feel like that. So when I had won the title of Survivor, I was more grateful for that. And then obviously to me, I just saw the cash was a bonus, but I got to the point where I was also, I was intimidated by it, because for a 25-year-old to receive that, it's a bit daunting. Like, it's a bit too much in your face. So I was like, oh, let's just pretend it's not mine. And just like, and obviously I had in the bank, and I told the bank, like, I just put on a long-term deposit until I have an idea of what I wanted to do. As time went by, like, obviously, I kind of decided to have an idea of what I wanted. And so 4 months ago, I finally, bought land and I'm building.
In that article as well, you said that you went to Cambodia to do some charity work as well, because you said that you kind of felt a little bit self-centered when you did Survivor.
Yeah, because obviously with Survivor being a show also comes with publicity and, you know, each to their own. But, like, I never went to play the game for that. I played for the actual game. And so being in public eye, I guess, also comes with a bit of me. And it's awesome, but I find that cringy. your Instagram page blows up, all these people are following you, people, like, you know, I can't even believe people would even idolize or draw pictures of me, you know, and just to see that, that's flattering, but I'm like, oh, trust me, I'm not that great in real life. I'm just a normal average person like you and me. So I kind of try to steer away from that and kind of put something where attention is more needed. And so I thought, like, how about while people are kind of just watching my Instagram story, to just go to literally Cambodia and show them what's more important. And so if they're watching my, like, through my lens, why not, like, use that as a way to show something more important. And I got a group of other Survivor contestants, myself, Tara, who came second, a few people from a previous season. We went to Cambodia and tried to build a bit of, like, education in the primary schools of Cambodia. Yeah, so we did that.
What lessons did you learn from the show that you apply to your life right now?
Yeah. One of the big things, obviously, so weird, but being kind to one another is, like, simple, but for some people, you know, it is quite complicated and complex. Just be kind to one another, to be honest. That's a big lesson. And being aware that when you go into these kind of shows or anything, not just Survivor, but any other shows where there's a big spotlight on you, just remember that your identity is not built on Survivor. It's built, like, I was Jericho before Survivor, not Jericho the Survivor. And so sometimes I know that people can get caught up in thinking that's their identity now. And but the thing is, like, once your season passes, you're no longer the it thing. And so just remember that, just, like, never lose your own identity. So awesome. It's a great chapter that I've done. But I'm more than just Jericho the Survivor winner.
So, as a final word, what advice can you give to others who kind of want to dare to do something different or to go out of their comfort zone or to test themselves?
So that's a really good question. I would tell them that you are your own worst critic, and that never underestimate yourself, because once you put your body and mind and soul under extreme circumstances, it will stretch your capacity so much more. And Survivor did that for me. Survivor really stretched my capabilities, my capacity, and I came out on the other end feeling like I was limitless, like Jericho is limitless. If you really believe in yourself and never doubt yourself. And to think that years ago that someone would tell me that I was going to be Australian Survivor winner, I would laugh in their face. But there you go. I'm living proof. I was not even half of some of the dudes that were there. They were giants. I was a short Filipino, literally came from Tarlac City, who ended up growing up in New Zealand, moved to Australia, and then next thing you know, like being crowned this title. That goes to show that anyone, whatever size, height, whatever, you know, background you're from, you can actually get there if you really, really believe in yourself.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.